things conservation, all things wildlife. Let's start the conversation with Rumbi Takawira. This is Conservation Conversation on ZFM Stereo.
What if we could save the world one podcast at a time? What if we could uncover the secrets of nature and protect our planet for future generations? Can we really derive maximum benefits from our natural resources without destroying them? What if we could solve the wildlife and human conflicts without harm to either side? Join us on the Conservation Conversation as we explore new ways to protect our natural resources and prevent harm to our planet.
Farming on wetland,
we say no.
Building on wetland,
we say no.
Farming on wetland,
we say no.
Building on wetland,
we say no.
And love our wetlands. This message is brought to you by the Environmental Management Agency, EMA. Together, protecting the environment.
Indeed, together let's protect the environment. Hello and welcome to the Conservation Conversation right here on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, where we lead the African narrative on conservation. As I always say, for Africans, by Africans. Thank you so much for joining us. Playing in the background is Daniel Duchelle's Enduring Hope. Feel free to get in touch with us on 0772-168045. That's plus 263-772-168045. Or follow us on social media at ZFM Stereo across all platforms and at the_conservation_conversation on Instagram. Or just follow me at Rumbi Takawira on Instagram and at Newsbay on X.
So as we're getting into tonight's show, I'm just going to talk briefly about COP30, because the countdown is definitely on and it's just weeks until COP30, the world's biggest climate summit, kicks off in Belém in Brazil. It starts off on the 10th of November and ends on the 21st of November. But what is COP30? It stands for the Conference of Parties, so that's COP, C-O-P, and it is the 30th conference, so it's COP30, where nearly 200 countries meet every year to tackle one shared crisis, and that's climate change. So every year there's a COP, so this is the 30th one, right? And this year's COP is pretty huge. It marks 10 years since the Paris Agreement, by the way, when the world promised to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. Now, leaders must prove they're turning those promises into action. Protecting forests, funding climate solutions, and cutting emissions. Is that happening? And right after COP30, there's another major global summit as well, the CITES COP20. So CITES is the Convention on the International Trade of Endangered Species of Flora and Fauna. And that's COP20, the Conference of Parties, the 20th one. This is the 20th meeting for CITES that's going to be taking place in Samarkand in Uzbekistan, where countries decide how to protect endangered wildlife and stop illegal trade in species. So over the next few weeks, I'll be breaking down what these COPs really mean, from climate to conservation, and why they matter to all of us. Do follow along as we count down to these COPs, as we're counting down to COP30 in the Amazon, and of course COP20 in Uzbekistan. But getting into tonight's show, we shared a spotlight on Lake Chivero. Yes, we have been talking about Lake Chivero quite a lot. Harare's lifeline, a once pristine body of water that's now struggling to breathe. But what's happening around it? Is there action? Well, how about we get to find out?
I'm Rumizai Takawira, a conservation journalist, wildlife enthusiast, adventurer, and an advocate for community development. I have embarked on a journey to discover the vastness of nature and how we can play a part to protect it. The dangers, the effects, and the solutions to sustaining the earth. It's the Conservation Conversation.
Welcome again to the Conservation Conversation, where we bring you real stories of people, nature, and the urgent fight to protect our planet. Like I mentioned earlier, today we're really turning our focus to Lake Tshivero, which is Harare's lifeline. For decades, Lake Tshivero has supplied water to millions, sustaining people, sustaining livestock, wildlife, and wetlands that define Zimbabwe's natural beauty. But today, that same lake is under siege. Untreated sewage and industrial effluent have turned its waters quite toxic. Nutrient overload has triggered massive blooms of cyanobacteria, blue-green algae that release deadly toxins harmful to humans and animals alike. Animals have been dying. What's left? Is it us? Because we get that water in Harare, in our taps. What are we doing about this? There happens to be a Lake Tshivero cleanup campaign. And in this episode, we're going to look at what is happening amidst this crisis. A powerful movement has emerged, which is the Tshivero Revival Campaign, a coalition of environmentalists, community groups, and volunteers that are determined to restore Lake Tshivero and remind us that hope is still floating. All right, we're here to speak to Jean Bertrand Mandu, who's one of the organizers that's leading this upcoming October Lake Tshivero cleanup, which is taking place on Friday, this Friday, the 24th of October, at the lake, and also Gary Stafford, who is at Kuimbashiri, and he also happens to be the vice chairperson of the Lake Users Association, and he's also a co-founder of the Cleanup Lake Tshivero, the Lake Tshivero Revival Campaign. They're going to share some of the challenges, some of the science and the spirit driving this fight to bring Lake Tshivero back to life. And I welcome you, gentlemen, to the show right here on the Conservation Conversation. I'm going to get right straight into it. And Jean, you have been working flat out for the past couple of weeks trying to mobilize people to come through for this cleanup. Can you talk to us a little bit about the background of it and how far you've gone with it, with the preparation?
Thank you so much for this question. Of course, we are organizing the Tshivero cleanup, the October Tshivero cleanup. This is something that mobilizes, obviously, loads of people to come together. And like you rightfully said, that we have to make an impact. I'm thinking our biggest impact would be the raising of awareness and education of people of the impacts, our day-to-day behaviors, what we do, where it ends, because most of the time we do things without knowing, without looking back of what's happening. So if we pollute, whatever that we are polluting, whatever that we consume, it ends up somewhere. So this is going to be one of the biggest educational things that we have. So we also have the mobilization of, obviously, masses of people, the education, the awareness, but bringing to the attention of people what we need to address, what the problems are, which one is the root problem. Right now we have the sewage that has been accumulating in the Tshivero. We have silt that has been accumulating. We have the solid waste that has been accumulating. So everyone is going to know that the life of the water that we have every day on our taps is contaminated, and it's going to be costly for the people who treat it. And we need to act accordingly so that we are able to what? To address those challenges. So it's bringing together people, educating them, also bringing the relevant authorities so that they pull up their socks. At times, you know, we are stretched as governments, we are stretched as stakeholders, as the civil society. We don't pay attention to some of the things that are of, we don't prioritize some of these things. And also as decision makers, we at times get occupied with the day-to-day issues and forgetting some of the most important issues. So it is important for us to now get together, the corporates, that blind eye that they give. I can give you examples of all the corporates that are polluting, all the develop whatever that they are saying they are doing. It could be development, destructing the wetlands, it could be their industries and so on. They are polluting heavily the lake. The producers of all the things, that commodities that we consume every day, they are polluting the lake. It could be, you know, the bottles, the plastics, that we use every day. So people need to pull up their socks and account for whatever destruction that they are making. So these are some of the things that we will be getting to be addressed and bringing all the stakeholders together so that we address.
Yeah, Jean, you really put a nail on that one, that everybody needs to pull up their socks, right? Because it's not just a one organization thing, and it's not just a one man thing. This now needs everybody to come on board. And Gary, for listeners who may not grasp the full picture, can you describe the current ecological condition of Lake Tshivelo and why it's reached such a critical point? I know Jean has mentioned some of the solid waste and so on, but can you get deeper into that?
Rumbi and the listeners. Yeah, the state of Lake Tshivelo. You know, last year, the full rhino and zebra, wildebeest, and a lot of birds died in the cyanobacteria. And that's when it was identified that it was the cyanobacteria that killed these animals. That was in October last year, November. And what happened was, we were aware of it, and people went, and we got started looking into ways of treating it. Then it came to this year, 4 weeks ago, and we have an annual cleanup at Lake Tshivelo. We started the annual cleanup in 2014. And while we were on the annual cleanup, we found more than 24 birds dead. We found impala, zebra, and also giraffe dead. And the worst was that that's not bad enough. We found baboons dead. Now, baboons are very closely related to us. And if baboons are dying, the next thing on the food chain is us. And when young Gene came back, we saw pictures, and not just pictures, but we took pictures of the raw sewage and the algae and the dead animals in the lake. And we also realized that there's a huge amount of pollution around the lake. And we decided then to engage with various stakeholders and blow the whistle and blow the alarm for the lake. The lake's critical condition. And that, I'm so grateful to Leanne Lombard and all the people that have come on board in starting the Tshivelo Revival campaign. So the lake is in really critical condition, and that is how this has come about. So the authorities are now starting to act, and let's see how we can deal with it. We can actually fix it very quickly. There are methods. We've seen how they've done it in South Africa in Hartbeespoort Dam. We've got tried and tested chemicals. They call the enzymes here. They've been tested. And so far, our authorities have not engaged anybody, even though the one company has been trying to get the authorities to utilize these chemicals since for the last 14 years. And I've got on good report that at least two companies from South Africa have also put tenders in to clean the lake. And that could have been done, but the people in charge haven't actually made any decisions. So all these animals and people are at risk.
Wow, quite damning there, Gary. And I think I would like to have a chat with some of the powers that be to find out what it is that has been the biggest challenge for them in dealing with this Lake Tshivelo situation. Besides just pointing the fingers, how do we get to fix it, right? And now we need to come in together and fix it. All right, you mentioned that, Gary, but I'm going to come back to you, Jean, because already Gary has spoken about some of the biggest challenges that we've faced in managing the lake. But now we've got this cleanup campaign that's coming up in the Lake Chiveru Revival. And you're bringing together hundreds of volunteers, specifically for this October cleanup, but even for the revival. How have you managed to engage the communities? Are you working with some of these partners that are supposed to be making these decisions that Gary has spoken about? We're talking about young people as well. How have you brought them on board around such a massive environmental effort?
Yeah, also just to add on is the fact that our policies are quite lucrative, great, but then they are limited in terms of actioning. They need the rightful financial resources, they need the rightful people, they need the rightful technicality so that they are actionable. So, you know, and also they need the public acceptance and engagement. So when we develop these policies now, like I am doing right now, I'm speaking it in English, but in layman terms, what am I saying to the general public? So the reason for this cleanup is to bring people to the ground. They understand what implications are. If you pollute, if you throw a plastic down, no one is going to pick it for you, and it has a huge implication on your life. If Delta produces you know, their beverages and they sell on the streets, but they don't follow up on their waste. How much waste did we produce this year, this month, this week? And where is it going? Then that's, you know, we are all being stupid as people, corporates, communities and so on. We need to be upfront and find ways to tackle these issues. So our policies also should be direct on those issues and should have the means of implementation. It should have the public acceptance, and the public should be like at the forefront pushing these issues at their, as the main priorities for themselves. Because if you look at the state of Chiveru right now, not just saying it, but hopefully people will see the implications and they will start working, acting accordingly. We're going to have hundreds and thousands of people coming out, possibly. I wish if there were thousands, but hundreds of people coming out to help clean up. And most young people will, for the first time, see the lake. I've seen some young people who have stayed in the area for years since birth, but they've never stepped foot anywhere close to the lake. So that engagement with wildlife, with nature, with the environment helps them appreciate and understand, and they can now start being champions. So hopefully we're going to drive and bring birth to the new generation of environmental champions, also motivate the communities to start being, you know, responsible citizens. We always talk about responsible consumption and production, but in this case now, we're going to have more people doing the exact work that needs to be done on the ground, and also, you know, support towards the science that our universities, our researchers have been talking about. So if we are doing the research, it is now coupled with the public engagement, with the civil engagement, and also it will be now more proactive and actionable.
You've already mentioned some of the manufacturers that should start stepping up, right? That should start following up on the waste. And I think this is where the ESG policies are now falling in, because now it's, I think it's going to become mandatory for organizations to report, to actually give ESG reports to understand how they're impacting the environment, how they're impacting the social life of the communities around them, and how they are also taking care of their employees and also the governance of their organizations. I'm going to come back to you, Gary, and I think I'm going to talk about how Jean has mentioned that, yes, we're going to be doing this cleanup, and it's amazing that you're coming up with this, but these short-term cleanups are crucial, right? But how do we move from reactive cleanups to a sustained recovery plan involving policy reform, wastewater treatment, industrial and individual accountability? And I think that is an area that we now really need to start focusing on.
The long-term recovery policy, you know, if for us now, the immediate issue is to build protected areas with bales of barley wheat, barley hay, and treat them with the cyanobacteria so that the animals can have fresh water now. That's what we're pushing for. We need that authority from the authorities now to say, go ahead and do what you can. We can then put buffer zones in on the tributaries coming into Jivero and treat the water coming in as well as we're going along in the next few weeks to a month or so. So that's what we can do immediately. With the, how do I say it politely, with our authorities, I'm talking about specifically the city of Harare. They have gone and built on the wetlands. They've allowed people to build on the wetlands, and they have also sold off farmland that was used for purifying water. It was called Crowborough Farm. They've sold it off for housing again, and that is a major, major blunder on their part, apart from the fact that they haven't maintained the plants. So what I'm saying is, up at the top end of Chivera, near Harare South, there are huge quarries there, and because City of Harare have allowed the wetlands to be disrupted and destroyed, we need to rebuild new wetlands. And I propose that they simply funnel all the dirty water from Chitungwiza, the Marimba, and so on into those quarries. We just need a bit of engineering where we can level it all off and put reeds in, and it become a natural filter for the water to come in. So that can be done very, very, very quickly. And it needs to be done urgently. And then let these guys start building their plants and their, all the other infrastructure that needs to be refurbished. That can all happen. But that all takes, as you know, years and years and years of preparation and authority and this and that and the next thing, where we've got an immediate crisis. So building wetlands at the top end of the lake, building buffer zones within the bay areas, and treating the lake with enzymes is an immediate remedy. But there is, it is going to be ongoing, and we do need to continue treating the water upstream for the foreseeable future.
I really want to go on with this conversation, but time always moves so quickly when you're getting deeper into some of these key issues. And to close it off, Gary, with this last question, which I want to cap off everything. You've been in this field for years, despite the challenges, despite everything that has gone on, despite all that you've seen. What gives you hope about the Chivero Revival campaign? And what would you say a restored Lake Chivero would look like to you in, say, 10 years?
You know, 4 years ago, I was on the lake with City of Harare and with all the major players, and I showed them what is going to happen. But of course, they all said, oh, well, as long as it rains, it'll keep flushing all the sewage out. Now, that goes into Manyami, and we know that how badly Manyami, Darwindale, is now polluted. So they are aware of it. And then, of course, last year, because of the drought, the lake has dropped like 6 meters from where it normally is. So that has really brought the major problem forward. But it's exactly what we've been telling them. But they keep on postponing things so that it's another year and another year and another year. The other day I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning so concerned about this, because I've grown up in Chivera, and I've grown up here. My son is now 33 years old, and he's grown up here, and he's got this young lovely lady around, and I'm hoping that in due time they're going to start a family. And I thought to myself, what am I going to tell my grandchild? I'm going to tell him, I grew up around Lake Chivera, and I used to go fishing, and your dad used to play in the water, and he used to go fishing. And my grandson is going to say, but Opa, Papa, why did you allow this to be so destroyed and turned into a septic tank? Why did you allow it? And I have now made it my life mission to get the people that are responsible for maintaining this lake, get them to wake up and get this lake cleaned. Because I'm not going to answer the question to my grandson to say, hey, I blundered in my lifetime because I allowed this beautiful place to be ruined by greedy, selfish, ignorant, lazy people. I don't know how to say it in polite language. You can hear I'm very passionate about it. I keep being told, please don't make it so insulting. But I really, really can't look at a little boy's face in the future or a little girl and say, you know what, we used to ski here, we used to canoe here, and you can't do that. You have to go to Mozambique, you have to go to South Africa, you got to go somewhere else. You can't do it at home. Imagine how sad that day will be. So I haven't got much more to say. I hope those people are listening, and I hope that they get their fingers out and give us the authority to clean up, because we can do it.
Wow. And a lot of people do say that you are quite passionate, Gary. And I know this because I have worked with you a few times. And you've just reminded us just what we've lost and but what we still actually stand to save. So for many Zimbabweans, Lake Chivero isn't just a body of water. And like you've mentioned, you grew up with your family there. It's where families spent weekends skiing, fishing, watching birds and reconnecting with nature. But it's also the very source of water that sustains millions of people in Harare and beyond. And today that lifeline is under threat. We've got pollution, invasive weeds, the neglect. These have turned this once vibrant ecosystem into a cautionary tale, really. But as we've heard from both Jean and Gary, the story isn't over and change begins with us. The October Lake Chivero Cleanup 2025 is happening this Friday, the 24th of October at Lake Chivero Recreational Park. So we all meet at Kuimbashiri. It starts off at 9 a.m. So if we can make our way there, let's all rally together. All Harareans, this is the water that comes into our homes. Everyone is invited to be part of this monumental effort to help Lake Chivero breathe again. Bring your energy, bring your friends and your commitment to make a difference. Every pair of hands counts. And together we can revive Lake Chivero, restore our water, our wildlife and our shared heritage. Because protecting nature isn't just conservation. It is survival. And you've been listening to the Conservation Conversation. I look forward to seeing a whole lot of you this Friday at Lake Chivero. I'll leave you with the three R's that I always leave you with. Remember to reduce, reuse, and recycle. We don't have a planet B. We need to start taking care of our planet now. See you again next week. Same time, same place.
Tune in next week for Conservation Conversation with Rumbi Takawira, only on ZFM Stereo.